Here we go again. It's the news. According to me. Good Thursday morning. It is April 25th, 7:54. April 25th, 2024. Soon to be 25. It's just the year's almost over. We have summer's just it hasn't started yet, but it's almost done too as well. So spring is sprung and here we come. Summer. I might actually get a few things done this year before summer starts so I can actually enjoy summer. I usually spend all summer trying to get things ready for summer. And then I'm not ready for fall, which just leads into, you know, I just keep falling behind. I'm still working on things for the summer of 22. By the way, it is good to be with you this morning. It's Eastern Standard Time. I am at the home office, the home studio. Not the worldwide headquarters this morning. I was hoping that tomorrow I'd be at the worldwide headquarters. However, I have to leave early. I'm going to work on the boat. The boat is about an hour away, and it happens to be where my wife works. So rather than drive two cars up there, we're going to drive one tomorrow. I have to leave when she leaves, and I have to come back when she's ready to come back. So there probably is not going to be a show tomorrow, unfortunately. I may do a show this evening, recorded for tomorrow. It all depends on how things work out for today. I've got a lot of errands to run, a few things to do, and a couple things to catch up on. There's a good possibility that there may be a show tomorrow morning if I can get it recorded this evening, which very well could happen. That's a very good possibility. Now, my personality changes drastically after 7 p.m. in the evening. I become a very mellow, as opposed to my hyper self right now. It's just out of control and crazy, as you can tell from, you know, listening to me here, to a very much more mellow individual in the evenings, about 100 times more mellow. In other words, you'll just hear me snoring. That's what it amounts to. I'll just be snoring. It'll just be an hour of snoring, which some people probably, ASMR stuff, I don't know what that's all about, but it's, some people probably like that. I don't know. In the meantime, I do have in my cup the standard, which I'm going to be looking for some more, a replacement today for this. It's vanilla chai, but it's, yeah. And then it's vanilla chai and it's got Almond Joy creamer in it. That's really the only, you know, option right now that can change. And then I've got my homemade sweet tea here in my other cup. It's, boy, that's just good stuff. I'm just going to take a sip of it just right now, just because it's just, I'm just looking at it and I'm thinking, boy, it's good. Yeah, that's some fine stuff right there. That is some good stuff. I have a few things to talk about. One of the things I'm going to dig into today, by the way, we had a frost warning last night, and I woke up in the grass that I've mowed is all frosty. I've only mowed once this year, which was not enough. I should have mowed a couple times, but I did mow just recently. It looks good right now. Got a couple dandelions popping up, but it's actually got it done. And, this perfect timing. I just got an invoice just came in for my taxes. He actually didn't charge me much. Less than half the price that the other guy charged me. Boy, that's a good guy. I'm going to have to continue to do business with that guy. If anybody's in this local area, get a hold of me. I'll let you know who it is. And his prices are reasonable. He did an awesome job. I did pay a lot of money in taxes, but I'm sure he did them correctly. And I'm going to have a meeting with him talking about my tax situation and how to, you know, there are things you can do to, you know, you need a tax strategy. You can't just go into things, you know, like that. So I have, I'm gonna dive into this whole thing that getting some weird text message questions from my nephew here about something. I don't know what's going on. I have sorry for all the distractions here this morning. This is, again, like I said, I'm just hyperactive. This is me being hyperactive. Drink some chai and calm down. I have one of the things I want to I'm going to really take a little bit deeper dive into. I mentioned it yesterday, or maybe it was the day before. This cover up that happened with the whole NARA incident with the documents, the Mar-a-Lago documents, the raid of President Trump's house, the Mar-a-Lago, the whole thing. There were some documents released in this. I'm going to get into this whole issue of redactions and how the redactions can be used to cover things up that shouldn't be covered up. And this is the case of what we've got going on now. Of course, now this whole presidential records document, a records act, Presidential Records Act, PRA, that whole thing is kind of, I guess it's from what I understand is it's reached the Supreme Court level now. They're going to make a decision on this thing. Supreme Court continues to reject any kind of election, pretty much any kind of election fraud cases. They don't want to have anything to do with it. Kerry Lake now has taken something to the Supreme Court, which needs to go to the Supreme Court. There needs to be a ruling on it. And and I'm not a lawyer, but I listen to some of them on YouTube, which makes me a quasi expert on YouTube lawyers. I have the interesting part of this whole thing is, you know, like Kerry Lake's got this case going on, and she's being railroaded. What's happening with the current administration in Arizona? Is it Arizona? I think it's Arizona. I get Arizona and Nevada mixed up sometimes. The Arizona has this thing going on now where these cases are flying back and forth. She's suing, they're suing back and forth, the current governor, and who's a mess out there. Now, of course, it's an election year, and they're starting to, we got to crack down. We got to crack down on this border thing. Oh, that we've been letting, just flew the doors open 4 years ago. And now all of a sudden, we gotta fix it. We're gonna fix it. Look, there's a problem over here. We gotta fix this. So you've been telling us for 3 years that there's no problem with the border. I guess, is it 30,000 people a day are overdosing on fentanyl? It's 30,000. The crime rate. By the way, the number of people who are shot with guns. Killed with guns every year is also blown way out of proportion. I don't know if anybody has done the math on this or not, but it is way out of proportion. The numbers are very skewed. And it reminds me a lot of the COVID numbers. Someone would die in a motorcycle accident. If they had COVID, they died of COVID. That actually happened. There were things like that going on because, it's just corruption. The interesting part of this whole thing with this whole documents issue is the way it was covered up. And again, they're the ones who are always talking about, it's the cover up. It's not. And again, more and more, 90% of the time, the things that they're accusing their political enemies of are the very things that they're doing. People have a tendency to project on someone else the ideas that they have in their own head. Most insecurity is based on that kind of thing. We talked about insecurity a little bit the other day about pilots and people in powerful places and teams and getting along and how a person, the imposter syndrome stuff. When you have a situation where someone is insecure about themselves, now typically They're afraid they're going to be found out. Well, the problem is, if they were the ones finding out about somebody else, they impose upon that other person the way they would react if they found out that this person was an imposter. So that it's, I hope that's understandable. I hope that's clear. I can't, you know, without a whiteboard, it'd be a lot easier to explain it with a whiteboard. So if person A is the person who is insecure and concerned about being found out, the reason they're insecure or concerned about being found out, about the, what will happen to the consequences of being found out, is because if they were the person, if they were person B and they found out about the other person being an imposter, the way they would treat them is the way they think they're going to be treated. That's the person A thinks that person B is going to treat them that way because that's the way they would do it if they were in that position. Does that make sense? No, I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a psychoanalyst. I'm not a psychophysiological. I'm not that either. I can't even pronounce it. I'm not Jordan Peterson. Let's put it that way.
But you know, if I was, I would talk like this, and I would probably do this because I'm Canadian. Because you just need to make your bed in the morning.
Anyway, I like Jordan Peterson, by the way. Brilliant mind. Pretty intense individual. Not sure I could hang out with the guy for more than 5 minutes. But he's a very intelligent person, individual. Of course, he can't do just a show, you know, a 10-minute YouTube show. All of his YouTube stuff is like an hour long. Because not only, you know, when he explains something, he has to give you all the background. Because he's very careful, very specific, very deliberate about what he is saying, and he wants to make sure there's very clear communication, and you ask him what time it is, and he won't tell you how to build a watch, but he will explain everything on the foundational level of why, you know, he'll go into the explanation of, you know, Greenwich Mean Time and Daylight Savings Time, the whole thing. He'll go through the whole thing to explain to you why he's telling you that it's 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever it is. And by the time he gets done, it's not the time it was when you ask him. That's, you know, there's got to be a reasonable amount of minutes in there. Yeah, hey, what time is it? Well, it's 12:01. But by the time I get done telling you it's 12:01, it's going to be 12:56. Anyway, this whole insecurity thing, you know, plays into this whole thing. Now, these people project things on others. They were saying that Donald Trump was covering things up. He's covering up, he's obstructing justice. They don't say obstructing justice. They just say obstructing. We need to arrest him for obstruction. Well, if I put a fence up on in my property line, is that obstruction? Yes, it is. So you're going to arrest me for it? It's not illegal. There are some things you can obstruct that are not illegal to obstruct. And yet, they like to scream obstruction because that makes it sound like a legal thing. Why do I keep getting this message that I have a package on the way? I keep getting this message every day, and it's just same package. I don't understand. So I have this obstruction issue that they were going at. Now, they got some documents. The Trump team was looking for some documents that were going, the communications between NARA, the National Records or National Archive Records, something administration, whatever. The people who wanted their documents back. Now, the problem with this is there's this guy named, one of the reasons I'm talking about this is because I finally had a chance to listen to and Robert Govea had a very good report on this whole case. He went into depth with it. It took about 30 minutes to go through the audio video, his analysis of this whole case, of what's going on with this, these redacted documents and what happened when they unredacted them and what it has exposed. And it's been very telling, in fact, very damning to the administration. Now, I guarantee you the legacy news media will not report on this at all, even though this is criminal. This is absolute. This goes straight up to the White House. And there is no question that for no other reason than this is an impeachable offense. And Biden is involved in this just as much as anybody else. It's his DOJ. It's his prosecutors. They met with his people. They even met with Kamala Harris in this whole situation. This is his administration doing this. They were planning to go after Trump. They were planning this whole thing 6 months before the raid on Mar-a-Lago. They were already working on an indictment. Now, keep in mind, this is only a few months after he left office. There are cases that between NARA and ex-presidents that went on for years. Years. The Clinton sock drawer incident where he had documents in his possession didn't get settled until about 2008. When did he leave office? 2000. It was 8 years before some of those things got settled with NARA. And come to find out, Clinton could keep the documents. Now, you've also got this other issue of this guy named Ferrara. Leo Ferrara. Leo, whatever Ferrara, whatever his name is. He was involved in this whole thing. And you got a prosecutor by the name of Bratt, fittingly so. It's amazing how some of these names sometimes just fit with the crimes that they commit. This guy named Bratt, he's been involved in this thing from the very beginning. And he's still involved with the Florida case. And he's one of those people that behind the scenes, you hardly ever hear about the guy, but he's been woven through this whole thing. And Robert Gavea does a very good job of connecting the dots on all that stuff. If you have a chance to listen to what his report is on. If you're interested in this at all, of course, if you're not interested in it at all, I don't know why I'm talking about it. But this is just my synopsis of the whole situation and why it's important that this cover-up be exposed. Because what has happened here is the DOJ was directly involved. Merrick Garland signed off on this stuff way before the Mar-a-Lago thing happened. He set this stuff in motion by approving it. NARA went to the DOJ several times. Normally, with the information that they had, they would have gone directly to the Trump liaison. They went around him. They had documents that they knew belonged to Trump, and normally out of good faith communication, they would normally just say, here are documents they would go back and forth with this document thing directly with the administration, the former administration. They did not do that. And it's obvious within these redacted documents now, it is very clear they are looking for the documents that Trump has on Crossfire Hurricane? I think it's whatever they call the investigation into Trump. Because they were investigating him. And they have documents. There's documentation on this stuff. And Trump has all this stuff, and they don't know where it is. Now, I think they pulled 17 boxes of documents, I believe is what I understand, out of that they were requesting from the Mar-a-Lago facility. I don't know how many I think they got more than 17 boxes when they pulled everything out. Because they just pulled it all out. We're just going to pull everything out of there, and we're going to go through, see what we need to find, what it is that we have to have. In other words, they wanted everything he had. This is the way they do things. This is kind of like the way they record everything. Anything digital is going into an archive. And then they can pull out of that archive anytime they want to, anything that they want to with a FISA warrant or whatever the kind of warrant they want to pull. But they collect it all. They just can't, well, we don't have access to it, but we collect it all. Okay, who's the curator of this stuff? Somebody has access to this. This is like NARA. The people that run NARA have access to everything in the data base. All those records are accessible by the the head people of NARA. Somebody has to file this stuff. Somebody's handling this information. They're just blindly putting things, you know, okay, I've got this document in my hand. I can't look at it, but I'm just going to go ahead and put it in this folder. And that doesn't work that way. You have to know what the document is and what kind of classification it has. Much of this stuff is still printed information, eyes only type stuff. It's not digitized at all. There are classified documents that still cannot be put in digital form. They're so highly classified. They cannot have any kind of access to digital, or they can't be hooked up to any kind of an internet server type thing where there's access outside of that intranet. Now, which can also be, theoretically, can be hacked. Much like a voting machine. So we have a situation now going on here where, come to find out, they were planning this whole thing all along. Ferreira, we believe there's 25 other boxes of information out there. It's an interesting round number, isn't it? 25. 25 more boxes of documents that Trump disposed of. We have no evidence of, and we're assuming he, in other words, they don't know that there were 25 boxes. They're just assessing. This is a hypothesis. It's all a theory that Trump had 25 more boxes and he destroyed them all. Now, think about this for a minute. These boxes are fairly good sized boxes, but just take a regular, like if you go out and buy a box of printer paper. How many sheets of paper are in that thing? How many reams are in there? Is it 5 reams? I think it's usually 5 reams with 500 pages per ream. Is that right? I don't know. I don't know what it is. It's like 2,500 pages in a document. They're saying he has 25 boxes of 2,500 pages apiece. I would assume, or at least 2,000. You can get 2,000 sheets of paper in a box. Easily. So we're talking about, what is it, 50,000? More than that? 50,000 documents? Supposedly. This is probably the stuff that they think that they're afraid is out there that's on them. This is paranoia is what this is. This is paranoia. Oh, he's got 24, he's got a bunch of boxes. Because this is a paranoid individual speaking out this stuff. Because they know there's that much dirt on them out there, what they're afraid of. That's my opinion. He can have an opinion. I can have an opinion too. That's my opinion. So what we're seeing here is the unfolding of a cover-up, nothing less than that. It's absolutely a cover-up. When you compare the redacted documents, and this is where I want to kind of just go through this whole thing and what all this redaction stuff always is. Pretty much 90% of the paper that these letters, this communication back and forth was redacted. Now, the reason that they claim that they do these redactions is to protect sources and methods and sensitive material, sensitive classified documents and classified information. We have to redact this stuff so as not to expose or to extend any kind of sensitive materials that could damage someone's life or whatever. So sources and methods. So they always say sources and methods. When Biden was asked about this, about the documents that Trump had. How could anybody be so irresponsible? I mean, who knows what kind of things were exposed, sources and methods and blah, 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 blah. And that's probably actually how he said it, probably, because it's bumbling along. They always like to use that sources and methods thing. There was no sources and there was no methods in this thing that needed to be protected at all. It was the act itself that they were redacting. What they were doing was being redacted. They're covering it up. They're using redactions to cover the things up, and they do this all the time. Tell me you don't think that this whole thing, when they had 51 people signed off on the idea that this is all the earmarks of a Russian disinformation act concerning the Hunter Biden laptop. All the earmarks. They never came out and said it was. But that was the intention. They wanted the perception of that to be the case. All the communication behind the scenes was redacted. They were sending out these letters, making these phone calls, asking people to sign on to this thing. Former intelligence, and some of them were actually still involved in intelligence. They were all involved in this whole thing. And it's all about, the whole thing is involved in get Trump. That's their whole mantra. The foundation of everything that they're doing is get Trump. Get Trump. That's the whole thing. And again, I come back to their standard operating procedure is the end justifies the means. So if it's get Trump and the end justifies the means, and the end is to get Trump, the means doesn't matter because as long as they get Trump, the means doesn't matter. They will lie, cheat, steal, kill, destroy, whatever they have to do to get Trump because the end will justify the means. Their outcome will justify the way they go about it, regardless of how illegal it is, or because they're so bent on this idea that they are the just ones. They are the ones who are the righteous ones fulfilling the destiny of our country and protecting democracy. They put this stuff in their heads that they're the saviors of the universe. They're the only ones who can be held, responsible for, to be the responsible party that can hold our sacred democracy in the palms of their hands. They're the only ones that can be trusted with it, because it will be destroyed and we'll never have elections again if this man is allowed to be elected. In other words, if the people elect this man, there will never be another election. So we can't let the people elect this man, because, well, that would be a normal election and we can't allow that to happen. So we have to protect the free market by going against free market policy. This kind of mentality is what gets us into trouble in this country. And we sit back and we let it happen. It is time. They're fearful. They're fearful that this next administration is going to come in and execute us all. Well, in a banana republic, that's the way it would happen. That's what would happen here. That is the way it would happen. We're not a banana republic. You're turning it into a banana republic. And quite frankly, the founding fathers, I don't think they would have any problem right now with holding many of you in contempt of this country. And in fact, I think the founding fathers would be much more vicious with you than what the American people and the public have been. I guarantee you they would be. They became very passionate about, they were willing to lay their lives down, their lives, their treasure, and their sacred honor, whatever the whole thing was. They were willing to lay all that down for our independence, and I think that they would, and independence. And I used to sign all my emails at the bottom of my email. It always said, a truly sovereign nation. This is what I put at the bottom of it. I said, I would put this is my quote. A truly sovereign nation is a nation made up of truly sovereign individuals. I believe that is at the heart of what the founders established in this country. That individuals are sovereign in and of themselves. And because of that, we are a sovereign nation. Because of the individual sovereignty that we all have. And that no government can intrude on that without due process. it should be difficult for any governmental agency to intrude on your sovereign rights. That especially is true in terms of property rights. And I think the founders, now my understanding is there was a ruling recently on property rights. I'm not sure what all that happened. I need to go back and look at that. I happen to see a little blurb go across my desk here about something about, well, there was a property rights ruling from the Supreme Court that changes things. And it was supposedly a good thing. I don't know if it is or not, but to take a look at it. In the process of doing that, the founders just, you know, established that especially property owners. In fact, there was a time when you couldn't vote unless you were a property owner because it's such a integrated part of what our country is about. Being a property owner was a big deal, and you were secure in your effects. You were secure in your property things. And now we have what we call property taxes. Now, and I don't think people realize how sinister and how evil property taxes are. They rank right up there with income taxes, in my opinion. Income taxes are evil as well. They're taxing your life because you're trading your life for something else. This money isn't just dropping in your lap. It's not like you won the lottery. If they want to tax the lottery, that's fine because it's just you know the risk when you buy the ticket. Reminds me of, there's an airplane, a movie called Airplane. And they're going on this, kind of having this little point counterpoint discussion during the whole thing. You know, this airplane's up in the sky and there's newspapers being printed. There's all kinds of stuff happening. Well, it's a comedy, by the way. And then, so they've got these two people that are arguing back and forth. And this one guy, at the end of it, he goes, "They knew the risks when they bought their ticket. I say, let them crash." So, and of course, that's a very famous line around the pilots joke about that kind of thing all the time. You wouldn't know that because they're not going to say it over the PA speaker, but it's all a funny line. And that's what, you know, when you buy a lottery ticket, you know the risks and you know, you're a loser. By the way, there's a guy that lives apparently he's living around my shop, the worldwide headquarters, apparently lives out back in the alley, or he spends a lot of time back there. And he likes to throw his trash in my yard, just leaves his trash there. And of course, one of the things that he does, and apparently he's living on lottery tickets. He's hoping to win the lottery at some point, apparently, because there's about 40 lottery tickets every day blowing around my yard there that I have to pick up. He won't pick up his own trash. I'm going to put a little trash can back there and just put a note on it and say, please pick up after yourself. At least do that. Now, I don't know. I mean, I've been through some hard times. I don't know what this guy's problem is. I don't know what his issue is. I don't know what's going on with him. Most of the time it has to do with just a perception of who he is and who he believes, how he believes God sees him. My suspicion is he's living in some kind of self-condemnation of some kind. His only hope is to win the lottery, get out of this mess that he's in, which will not change his mess. He's a mess. Money's not going to fix the mess. He's just going to be able to make a bigger mess. You've got to get some principles in your life. You've got to get some discipline in your life for all that, for anything to change. And you're going to find that all that money you've been spending on lottery tickets could have been spent somewhere else that would have made a whole lot better difference. And maybe even the idea of, hey, maybe it's time I stop looking at myself and maybe start helping other people. Maybe that's going to be my way out of this mess, by helping other people out of their mess. That typically is a principle in life that we miss because we don't teach it in schools. Of course not. I don't know what we're teaching in schools anymore. besides gender study stuff. So we have this issue going on with the deception and all the craziness and the redactions and everything else that's happening. And all this stuff plays out. It'll be interesting to see how this works out through the next week, because this stuff's going to come out. There's going to be more and more people. Congress is going to have some kind of, you know, investigations into this, hopefully. Which all that does, and that doesn't do anything other than bring us to the public attention. And of course, the left will be screaming and yelling about it. They always have some kind of way of yelling and screaming about it, denying it, and all that stuff. So we'll see how that goes. Another thing I'd like to address this morning, and it's just a quick note about this, and then we're going to end the show. But the Congress, apparently, was it the Senate or Congress? I think it was Congress. Just recently passed this $95 billion. Another $95 billion going to Ukraine, which supposedly doesn't really go to Ukraine. It goes to the defense. We don't know where it's going because there's no accountability for it. And Rand Paul, who tried to put a bill in to get some accountability where it's going. So we know where it's going. That was shot down by Congress. Oh, no, we don't want anybody to know where it's going. Okay. Oh, that's great. So you're taking the taxpayers' dollars and you're not letting us know where you're putting it. No accountability. And then the buzzword is, well, it's all going back to the U.S. Contractors. It's going back. It's coming back into our economy. Oh, so now it's even worse because all we're doing is funding people that are donating to your campaign. And it's diluting our dollars. Most people don't understand, and this is where Jimmy Dore, he's still a little bit skewed on some things. He's got some unfocused ideas. And I just want to, this is a little side note before I go into my last topic here. The other day, Tucker Carlson and Jimmy Dore had a little one-on-one. It was like 30 minutes long. They were having a discussion. Now, I've always had a few issues with Tucker Carlson, and I like the guy. I like where he goes. I like the fact that he's willing to kind of take on some of the things that he takes on. He's lost a lot of his clout since he's gone off on his own. He's not part of a network anymore, which is supposedly supposed to give someone credibility, which it doesn't, but it gives people a little bit more of a platform. Well, that's gone. So he's off on his own now. So he's talking to Jimmy Dore. Well, Jimmy has this idea that government should take care of certain things and government should pay for this and pay for that and take care of health. He's big on health care, government health care, universal health care. However, Jimmy has, through this whole process with COVID and everything else, he's really kind of come full circle in terms of his supporters. He had Cornel West on his, he was a big fan of Cornel West, which kind of gives you an idea of where he's at. Then he had Cornel West on his show. And by the time Cornel West left his show, he was no longer a fan of Cornel West. Now, he was making some statements that he kind of confronted Tucker Carlson with, and Tucker Carlson said, I wholeheartedly agree with you. Now, me as a conservative, I would have pushed back on those issues. I would have said, no, I don't agree with that. I don't think government should be paying for every little thing like this and that. And Jimmy Dore is I appreciate the guy. I really do. The direction he's headed is a good direction. Don't get me wrong. And he's the kind of person you can have a discussion with. If you can convince the guy of something, he will push back and he will argue his point. And that's great. That's what I like about Jimmy Dore. If you can present him with facts and say, this is what's actually happening, these are the numbers, he will listen to you. He's not dogmatic about some things, and you can actually have a discussion, or and you can agree to disagree, and you can part as friends, and you can still be, you know, on a cordial, but he's a normal individual in that respect. And that's the biggest thing I think that we have forgotten in this country is that we all want to see everybody have proper health care. We don't want to see anybody go without health care. The Republicans don't want to see people just dying in the streets. Oh, they're going to be piling up bodies in the streets. And that's what the left has actually said things like that. I'm kicking grandma out of the nursing home. I'm going to take away your welfare. Nobody wants to see people suffer. We don't want that on either side. Well, there are some people who want to see that, but the party's platforms are not set up for that. We want to see people have access to good health care. But my thing is, I want people to afford the health care that they can get. I want you to be so successful and so prosperous that you can afford to get whatever health care you want to get. And that but you know what? You have to make that a priority, first of all. You can't just go out and buy Game Boys and then expect somebody else to pay for your health care. You can't just go out and buy lottery tickets and cigarettes and alcohol and expect somebody else to pay for your health care. Because I can't afford it. Well, apparently you can. You spent the money on something else that actually was detrimental to your health care. That's your choice that you made. And now you want to take my choices away by making me pay for your health care. This is where all this stuff goes. And I think that the conservative mentality is, we want to see you be successful as an individual and productive and be able to stand on your own 2 feet and pay for whatever you need to pay for. And that's your choice to pay for those things, whether you want to get a doctor or a specialist or whatever you want to get, or you don't want a doctor at all. That's up to you. You're going to go to California and find a doctor there to do whatever you want to do. It's do your brain surgery, whatever you got to get done. That's up to you. But we're not going to make someone else pay for that. Just because everybody else has a new car doesn't mean you get to have a new car. You need to produce, save, then spend. Not the other way around. So anyway, that was a longer side note than what I kind of went down a couple different bunny trails there, which is not unlike me. So for those of you who haven't ever heard me before, we have this whole thing where we had this thing where Congress voted in all this money for Ukraine. And I promise I'll finish up with this. The vote passed. And all of a sudden, all these people suddenly had Ukraine flags that they were waving. And we're being told by people like Lindsey Graham, Ukraine's border is our border. These people they want freedom. They want democracy. Oh, really? Well, that's not what's happening in Ukraine. Democracy is not happening in Ukraine. They canceled their elections because of the war. They've conscripted, or they're raising conscription now, I think up to 55 years old. They kept men from leaving the country because they were forcing them to go to battle, to fight for the country, to fight for the leadership. You've got, what's his face? Vladimir. They're pronouncing his name differently now than Vladimir Putin. It's Zelensky's coming to the news. It's Vladimir, not Vladimir. It's trying to pronounce his name differently. So Zelensky's traveling all over the world, meeting with leaders all over the place. How are they getting him in and out of the country without? It's just like, so it's a weird situation there. World leaders going in and out of Ukraine. You've got actors and actresses going in and out of Ukraine. Political activists just traveling in and out. I was just going to book a ticket to Ukraine. They're being bombarded by Russia right now. It's a big war going on, but I fly in and out of there. Weird stuff. Of course, anyway. So they're waving these flags. Ukrainian flags. Hundreds of them came out, being waved around in our Capitol building, in our temple of democracy, our sacred halls, waving the flags of another country. That sounds like an insurrection to me. If you broke into the Capitol building and started waving around the American flag, they would call you an insurrectionist. How do I know that? Because it happened on January 6th. This is the kind of thing that, well, it perturbs me. Let's just put it that way. And I hope it perturbs other people. Question is, what are we going to do about it? I think that we need to make sure we are motivated to vote, to make our voices heard, to stand up for our rights, especially free speech, and how we're going to protect those rights, and the rights of those around us. Stand up shoulder to shoulder and make sure the other fellow's rights are protected, because Kennedy got it right. The rights of every man are threatened, and the rights of one man are taken, or whatever was it. I don't know. I'll go back to that. God bless, folks. I'll be back here maybe tomorrow with a recorded show from tonight. We'll see how it goes. Have a great weekend. If not, Shabbat Shalom.